All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is a special Halloween edition of Dead Days. I'm only doing an hour, and I'm really fucking tired, but let's go ahead and get this done anyway, because I did promise you guys you'd have it. This has all the gore and all that's going to be here. Basically, there was something that was left unchecked right here in playstyle. That was off. That would have been bad, guys. We don't want to not have the blood and gore, right? So, it's on. Let's go ahead and get started. Ooh, I've got some more stuff. Sorry, it's been really hot here. I have to turn off fans and stuff. All right, there we go. There we go. Everything's good now.
こいつ目が覚めるっぽい。
Oh, it looks like this one's waking up.
最後の一人ね。
He's the last one. I was woozy, and the inside of my skull felt numb. I could hear voices talking to each other. Wait, what had I been doing again? Shit, I couldn't remember at all. Was it because I just woke up? I should at least open my eyes, I guess. There was a young woman standing over me. She seemed to be about my age. She was a real fashion disaster. There was one other woman. She looked like she was in her early 20s. She had huge tits. Well, thanks for mentioning that. Both of them had their eyes fixed on me. It was making me a little uncomfortable. And where was I to begin with? I thought I'd just nodded off while riding the train, but that didn't seem to be the case. The room was small and dark. It looked like I was inside a shipping container. An uneasy feeling started spreading through my chest. What was I doing here? There's someone else. I noticed someone else standing near the back. That meant there were four people inside the shipping container, including myself. The last one wasn't a woman. He was a sketchy-looking bastard, and it was hard to guess his age. There was a detestable look in his eyes. He seemed criminal somehow. Why don't you try asking him? Okay. The fashion disaster nodded in response to the man in the back. She does have huge tits. Excuse me. Then she spoke to me. Why are we here? Huh? How should I know? Why was that the first question she asked? Forget about me. Who the hell were they? Wait, what about me? Why was I here again? I told you, he doesn't know either. Hey. Yeah? The attractive older lady with big tits bent down over me. She scanned me from head to toe. Did you happen to be seriously injured today? I mean, did you die? I want to squeeze them. I want to squeeze them so bad. The things I could do. Wait.
Huh?
What'd you just say? Damn it, I got all worked up and missed what she said. For real? Stop, like, spacing out. You died, didn't you? Today, I mean. The attention whore turned on me, obviously losing her temper. I had no idea what she was talking about. Died? I was sure that's what she just said. Was she all there upstairs? If I was dead, then how could I be here right now, huh? Don't be ridiculous. I felt an icy chill spread through my guts, like the feeling when you miss a step coming down the stairs. Huh? What? I think he remembers. The numbness was clearing from my head. My memories came rushing back all at once. Let's see. Today I... It was break right after third period. I was chatting idly with my friends like always. Like about where to get lunch or YouTubers or some other bullshit. I wasn't the main character in this drama. That was one of my friends. A handsome 185 centimeter soccer club star. The whole time I was wrapped up in our stupid conversation, I could feel the eyes of the girls in class on us. And it wasn't just the girls. Sometimes the guys would look too. They were jealous of me. I was in the coveted position of being next to our class's undisputed hero. That was me. You see it all the time in anime and manga. I was the jokey friend who was always with the protagonist. Those kinds of characters are always likable. In fact, that's exactly what I was going for. But what if that character was actually a villain all along, secretly taking advantage of the main character's popularity? Well, that would be a pretty good description of me. To be blunt, this guy on the soccer team was crazy popular. That's why the girls going after him were way more competitive than usual. And that's where I came in as the best friend. Girls would approach me as a way to get access to him, and I ate up the attention. Afterward, I would introduce them to him and then quietly back off. I didn't want anyone to know the truth about me, least of all him. Every now and then a girl would try to rock the boat, but whenever that happened, I'd bring up a certain commemorative photo that I'd secretly taken. Did I feel guilty about it? Not at all. We all have to make a living somehow. Relationships are all about people using one another. Whether it's me or him or someone else, everyone's the same. It's just a question of degree. If you can't do it well, then you'll look like an idiot. That was why. Teru, wait up. I absolutely unequivocally hated this girl's guts. The person talking to me was Ataka Mao. We'd been inseparable since before grade school. I guess that's what the rest of the world calls a childhood friend. I need to talk to you. Got a minute? The look in her eyes told me it was something she didn't want anyone else to hear about. I excused myself from my best friend and went out into the hall with Mao. What do you want? I don't have anything to say to you. It's about Fujino-san in Class B. Why don't you respond to any of my calls or messages? She glared up at me. Now that I knew what this was about, I was annoyed. Fujino was just another girl trying to use me to get to the guy in the soccer club. We'd slept together too, but then she dumped me for him right after. I had no idea what was going on between them now. What's that got to do with me? This conversation had absolutely nothing to do with her. She had no right to bring it up like this. Everything. I talked to her. She said you two are going out now. What? No, we aren't. She likes Takayama. All I did was introduce them. Takayama was the soccer star. Our relationship had never been about anything more than using each other. You're wrong. Fujino-san said she likes you. Huh? What the hell? What was she talking about? Mao sighed in frustration. You're awfully dense for someone who thinks he's so smart. You were the one she wanted all along. She was just using Tokuyama as an excuse to get close to you. What the hell? Why did she pick me over Tokuyama? There was nothing in it for her. I didn't get it. I mean, I put some effort into my personal appearance, and I was relatively confident in my looks, but even at 170 centimeters, I wasn't in any of the sports clubs. It's not like my grades were anything special, and I wasn't even that funny. I was just a quick-witted and good at making... I was just quick-witted and good at making people think I was. That's what the real Kurosaka Teru was like. I'd even be the first to admit it. Going out with me was nothing for anyone to brag about, and there was nothing in it for them either. I don't know what you're talking about, but so what? It's still got nothing to do with me. You're awful. She spit the words at me. I was used to it by now, but I felt a familiar sensation in my chest, like a feeling I'd forgotten about a long time ago. I always ended up feeling that way when I talked to Mao. I didn't understand it, but I felt guilty for some reason. She was like a little brat turning over rocks, forcing bugs out of the damp comfort of their home and into the harsh sunlight. Everything she did felt like that. I resented her self-important righteousness and didn't want anything to do with her. You could say she was my natural enemy. But you did stuff like what a couple does, didn't you? You and Fujino-san. Or Fujino-san, sorry guys. Now she was mumbling. If it was that embarrassing for her to say, then she should just stay quiet. And? And? Then just admit you're going out. What, just because two people had sex doesn't mean they're going out? What decade do you think we're in? Actually, I had no idea how things had been in the past. I knew it was true, but you're even worse than I thought. You're just a player, a piece of garbage. Yep, there's the look. I immediately snapped a picture of her with her eyes wide and her mouth open in rage. It was a pretty funny shot. Hey, what do you think you're doing? Delete it. Delete it right now. If you want me to delete it, it'll cost you 10,000 yen. Her face was bright red as she tried to snatch my phone from me, and I responded by walking away. That was payback for bothering me and wasting my time. Served the bitch right. She was always butting in where she wasn't wanted, and I truly hated it from the bottom of my heart. She's like some neighborhood busybody. Hey, Kurosaka, senpai was looking for you earlier. He said to tell you he's up on the roof. Someone called out to me as I was headed back to the classroom. I started up the stairs towards the roof. Ido Aita, or Indo Aita. He was only one grade ahead of me, but he had to repeat a year after being hospitalized from a motorcycle accident, so he's actually 2 years older. He was a notorious brawler. Whether it was turning the tables on five or six people surrounding him or picking a one-on-one fight, his strength was legendary. Not only that, but rumor had it his late father had been a Yakuza boss. He was easily the most intimidating person at our school. From what I had heard, his fists hit like rocks. It was supposedly like being slammed with a chunk of concrete. So, today I got the opportunity to experience it firsthand. I'm not sure if I'd say it was like concrete, or more like steel. It felt like he broke my nose on the first strike, and I instantly crumpled to the ground. Tears and blood were pouring from my face. The moment I saw him, he said, "Sup," with a huge grin on his face as he immediately laid into me. Wow, that's crazy. He was like, "Sup, wham!" His timing was flawless. It was obvious he'd done this sort of thing before. Tell me, Teru, do I look like I'm your Pokemon? His voice was cheerful as he kicked me again and again in the ribs. For a second, I thought I'd been stabbed by a knife. The pain took my breath away and I started coughing violently. Saliva and blood sprayed out of my mouth. Please, don't! I begged for forgiveness in the most pathetic voice imaginable, and I wasn't even putting on a show. It was that moment that I realized the position I was in. I was royally fucked. I'm impressed you would say that. I honestly didn't think you had the balls. I had a habit of getting myself in trouble with girls. Usually Tokiyama would dump them after he had his way with them, and they'd work out their frustrations by getting their guy friends to come after me. I had an image to uphold, and I wasn't really the fighting type, so the truth was I usually got Ida-senpai to fight my battles for me. It was honestly the stupidest thing that brought us together. He'd been smoking in the bathroom and started a small fire that got out of hand. I'd seen the whole thing but played dumb during the teacher's investigation. There was no sense in getting all righteous like Mao when all it would do is get me on the wrong side of this loose cannon. That was literally the only reason we knew each other, but he never forgot what I'd done for him. He started helping me out when one of my relationships with a girl would go south. Apparently, he heard I got the shit kicked out of me from time to time. Naturally, I used this stroke of luck to my advantage. I started spreading rumors everywhere that Ida-senpai had my back all the time. The part about him being my Pokemon must have gotten added later. I'm sorry. I begged for mercy on my hands and knees as my nose bled like a faucet. He just kept smiling. Don't get me wrong, I really admire your guts. Treating me like personal muscle isn't the kind of idea your typical loser fuckboy would come up with. Isn't that right, Teru? The cheerfulness in his voice scared me to death. He was exactly the type to kill someone with a smile on his face. I was about to piss my pants. I just got carried away. Please forgive me. Afraid I can't. He dashed my hopes, his smile never wavering. The fine is 1,000,000 yen. You have until tomorrow. 1,000,000? That was impossible. He had to be saying it just to toy with me, to drive me into a corner. As crazy as he was, not even he would seriously expect a high schooler to have that much money. And just to be clear, this isn't a joke, got it? The tone in his voice told me he was deadly serious. I started desperately trying to think of a way to resolve this peacefully, but no bright ideas came to mind. I know some rich old fags I can introduce you to. At 100,000 each, you only have to fuck 10 of them. Not sure how well you'll be able to sit down tomorrow, though. I started sobbing like a little kid. I was beyond caring about my pride or reputation at this point. Come on, I'm just messing with you. No way I'd put my adorable young friend through something like that. He patted me on the shoulder, still smiling. Thank goodness he actually had a heart. That's why you're gonna help me knock over a Yakuza gambling den tonight. That's how he died, I bet. 1,000,000 yen is nothing compared to what we'll score. My head went blank. I couldn't think at all. A Yakuza gambling den? My body shook with fear like nothing I'd ever felt before. I had absolutely no idea what he was going to say or do next. He might as well have been from another planet. Here, use this. He suddenly had a handgun out to me. He must have been keeping it in his back pocket. What on earth was this guy thinking? What are you pissing yourself over? It's just a toy model. Besides, all you really need are those massive balls you like to show off. Are you being serious? Yeah, I am. That just made his smile all the more terrifying. I'll see you after school today. Be there, or else. The bell for fourth period rang and Ida-senpai disappeared. I seriously wanted to run for my life. I even thought about running to one of the teachers, but I knew that wouldn't resolve anything. If I tried to back out, my life at the school would be literally over. That wasn't an option, and things had been going so well up to now. I didn't have any appetite at lunch, and I just passed the time like a zombie waiting for school to end. And so that evening... What the hell am I doing? I had come to the outskirts of Kabukicho. Yup, that's Yakuza territory, guys. In Shinjuku, just like Ida-senpai instructed. In my bag were a mask I bought from a local department store and the model gun I'd been given. Apparently there was a casino run by real-life gangsters in the basement of the apartment building in front of me. Naturally, it wasn't a legal establishment. My phone buzzed in my pocket. Go on in. I'm watching you. I instinctively looked around, but I couldn't tell where Ida-senpai was watching from. Either way, I was completely terrified of him. There was no telling what he was thinking or what he was capable of, so I had no choice. Compared to him, I felt like I had a better chance of talking things out with the gangsters. At least they could be called semi-reasonable adults. Actually, forget I even said that. I pulled my mask over my head and went through the back entrance, following the stairs down to the basement level as instructed. I couldn't believe this was actually happening. I was barely even aware of what I was doing. My ability to reason was completely paralyzed. I was like a bug that only moved because someone kept poking it from behind with a stick. And so, I walked through what looked like a service corridor and opened a side door. I was stunned by what I saw on the other side. There were slot machines, card tables, and roulette wheels. I counted dozens of people who looked like patrons and several men who looked like they worked there. The guests were so absorbed in their gaming that they didn't notice me come in. Standing there in the dark, unseemly atmosphere, I started to regret my decision to come here. Reality had finally caught up with me. It wasn't too late to leave. I could still turn back. Just as I was thinking that, I locked eyes with an employee wearing a headset. Seeing me there in my mask like a terrorist from a movie, his expression turned to one of surprise. That's when it happened. My right hand moved with a mind of its own, drawing the model gun from my bag. I couldn't say exactly why I did it. I probably thought it would stop him from raising his voice, like, hands up or something, you know? Stop! Don't shoot! Unfortunately, it backfired. The employee shouted when he saw the gun. Now it was my turn to be surprised. That's when I reflexively squeezed the trigger. A stabbing pain pierced my eardrums. A sound louder than I could have imagined. It was like a lightning strike right in front of me. My right hand squeezing the gun was tingling like from a hard impact. No way! It was real? I was holding a real gun? The casino became deathly quiet. All eyes were on me. A split second later, the room erupted in a panic. The patrons all scrambled for the exit. The employees screamed and ran for cover. And I was just as panicked as the rest of them. I never thought it had been a real gun. I'd imagine that the worst case I could play this off as some sort of YouTube prank and get off relatively easy. That was when I still thought the gun was fake. Now that was impossible. There was no way I could pretend like this was a joke. Now I'd become a real burglar. This was beyond fucked. I had to get away. Those are the only two thoughts in my head. I turned my back to the room and leave out the door, I came in through. That was when I got tackled to the ground from behind. My mask was torn off. The lights on the ceiling were blinding. I saw the outline of someone's fist raised above me. And with a heavy thud, I blacked out. I was awake. The first thing I noticed was the carpet reeking of cigarettes pressed against my right cheek. I opened my eyes slightly. There were two men in the room with me. One wore a suit. The other was in sweats. Both were equally intimidating. It wasn't hard to read the situation. I was in some sort of gangster's office. These guys were career criminals. If someone had told me 24 hours earlier I was going to end up here, I would have thought they were crazy. And yet here I was. The end. Those words ran on an endless loop inside my head. I couldn't think of anything beyond my current situation, and I learned the true meaning of despair. This uniform is from the same school that Ida-kun attends. What? So you mean he and this brat, they know each other? I could hear them talking. I pretended I was still unconscious. My breathing was uneven, and it felt like my heart was going to jump out of my chest. The back of my head throbbed where I'd been hit. Then that's probably where he got the gun from. Look, his name is in this guy's call history, too. Then just what are you getting at? Explain it so I can understand. What were they talking about? I thought I heard them mention Ida-senpai's name. Were the rumors of him being the son of a Yakuza boss true? I mean, it's not hard to figure out. This is just like something he'd do. And he knows no one will make a big deal of it as long as he's targeting our gang. Don't tell me this was some sort of prank, or is it hazing? It definitely doesn't feel like a joke. It's true that someone could have been killed. Ha ha, that guy's totally crazy. I was starting to understand, too. Was this all an elaborate joke set up by Ida-senpai? In other words, he planned this whole thing to scare me half to death. But far from feeling relieved, I was even more scared now. It was too late for regrets at this point, but I wished I'd never gotten involved with that maniac. Hey, kid, drop the act. We know you've been listening. I felt a sudden kick in my ass. I sprung up and got down on my hands and knees, pressing my forehead firmly into the carpet. But please, don't kill me! It felt like I'd been doing a lot of begging today, although I don't have any problem with it as long as it kept me out of this. So you were just faking the whole time, you sneaky little shit? I can't stand people like you. The man in the suit scowled at me as his face twisted with annoyance, verging on outrage. But this wasn't a movie. There was no pause button I could press to freeze reality. There was no escaping them. Well, I guess you're a victim in all this too, but that doesn't mean we're letting you off the hook, got it? I mean, you did shoot a gun at one of us. My guts twisted up in knots. My back and armpits broke out in a cold sweat. What will it take for you to let me go? Now let me see. I could feel his mood softening from the sound of his voice. It looked like my tactic of throwing myself at their mercy was starting to work. If I kept humbling myself in front of them, I might just get out of here. In that case, this would be easy. I'd do whatever it took to get me on the good side of someone stronger than me. That had always been my policy. Hey, what do you think? It's no fun to keep torturing this kid. It's not like he has a credit card and we won't get any money out of him. Yeah, you're right. Say, you know an awful lot of girls, don't you? The younger one in the tracksuit was scrolling through the contact list on my phone. You're really starting to piss me off. I had to go to an all-boys school, you bastard. Sorry. Well, why don't you call up one of your girlfriends so she can apologize to us for you? After that, you can go. Yeah, girls are way more fun to screw with. Damn, this is turning out to be a pretty good night. Just make some excuse to get her here. You're good at lying, aren't you? I can smell it on you. Oh, so since they couldn't rob me, they wanted to settle things that way. Yakuza really were professional scum. But these were all just worthless girls who were trying to get close to the star of the soccer club. I didn't see a problem with using them to my advantage in this situation. Yeah, in fact, there was that Fujino girl in Class B who was supposedly into me. She'd probably come running if I extended an invitation. Call this one. When he turned my phone around to show me what was on the screen, my heart stopped. It was the picture of Mao I'd taken earlier today. I don't think you should pick her. She's really ugly, she's short, fat, and isn't that an awful picture of her? Huh? You got some problem with my taste in women? His eyes were cold and dead like a shark's, and my balls retracted up into my stomach. My heart felt like it was in a vice. Of course not. I just thought maybe you might like someone cuter is all. The moment I said that, I was kicked in the stomach. The impact reverberated in my spine. My organs felt like they'd been twisted inside out. This isn't a fucking negotiation. You do what you're told. I rolled over, almost choking on my own vomit, as a voice whispered coldly into my ear. The glow of the phone screen flickered in front of me, blurred through tears. It was Mao's furious expression, eyes wide and mouth open. When I looked at it, I felt a hot stinging behind my eyes. Wow. You can't have her. Dude, you're in no place to negotiate. Huh? His expression told me he didn't understand and was starting to lose patience. I honestly felt the same way. Why was I being so stubborn? Wasn't it better to just do what they said? Why did I give a fuck about what happened to some bitch I couldn't stand? Wasn't I ready to hand over a girl who claimed to love me just a few seconds ago? So why? Ha ha. Is she your girl? Is that it? No, that's not it. I already told the truth, but the Yakuza in the suit just laughed scornfully, already convinced. I knew it. You're a filthy fucking liar who'd rather suffer than give her up. What other reason could there be? It certainly did look that way, but he was dead wrong. Now that I'd already resigned myself to pain, I felt that strange resistance starting to fade. They could punch and kick me all they wanted. Bring it on. Anything to get this day from hell over faster. Well, now I'd feel even worse if it ain't her. Don't make it harder on yourself. Now get on with it, and be convincing, or else they'll never find your body. The younger one handed my phone to me. My fingers were shaking from stress and exhaustion as I looked up Mal's info. And then I press the icon to call her. I heard Mao's voice, carried to me by radio waves. I put her on speaker so the Yakuza guys could listen too. It was the same voice I'd heard just a few hours ago, but somehow it felt like we hadn't talked in ages. It was probably a sense of distance from the tremendous difference in our current situations. I was in my own personal hill. Hell, not hill. A situation where one slip could get me killed. Something I thought only existed in games and movies. What's going on? You never call me. Yeah. The pressure and stares coming from the two Yakuza made it hard to breathe. All the while, I was frantically trying to figure out what to do. So, can you meet me tonight? There was a moment of silence. Oh, was tonight no good? Oh no, it's not that. I was just wondering why, since we'll see each other at school tomorrow. So, can you come out to Shinjuku? It's just Tokuyama and some of the others are throwing a birthday party for one of their friends. And Tokuyama, he just won't shut up about inviting you over. There's lots of other popular guys here too. Come join us. I told her lies upon lies like it was nothing. Oh, don't worry. There's plenty of girls here, too. It's that picture I took of you this afternoon. Everyone thinks you're really cute. They're all asking if they can meet you. Yep, that's basically what I was really like. I could lie and use anyone without the slightest regret. I mean, we all do it, right? I was just more self-aware than most people. That scary senior was looking for you today. She said in a calm voice after quietly listening to my lies. And your face was all bruised when you came back to class. What? What does that have to do with anything? I think it has a lot to do with things. You're calling me because you're in trouble, right? Mao's voice was quiet. How could she see through me so easily? What are you talking about? Don't be stupid. You're not as good of a liar as you think you are, Teru. Your voice is shaking. I was at a loss for words. For some reason, I felt a strange sense of relief. She'd seen right through my lies. She was always so righteous and knew just how to expose my worst qualities. Even though we'd grown so far apart, that side of her never changed. So why? Why was I feeling relieved? I'd failed. I hadn't been able to trick Mal. Despair was all that lay in wait for me now. I'll come to you. Where in Shinjuku? That was why I couldn't believe what she said next. I know something awful will happen to you if I don't go, so I'll come to you. What the hell was she saying? Hadn't she seen I was lying? Didn't she realize how serious this was? And she was still going to come to me? Did she actually want to help me? The second that realization hit me, I felt something deep in my chest. It wasn't relief that she was coming to help, and it wasn't joy that things had worked out to my advantage. And I definitely didn't feel the slightest bit of gratitude towards Mal. Don't be a fucking idiot. All I felt was a fiery indignation. I didn't care if I was suffering in the depths of hell. She was the last person I wanted to extend a helping hand. The thought that I was asking her for help of all people. A feeling of venomous hatred and resentment took over. It filled me from head to toe. Dumbass, idiot, moron. I spewed vicious abuse at her through the phone. Can't you tell I'm just using you? Everything I said was a fucking lie. Just fucking forget it, you stupid bitch. I slammed my hand against the phone to end the call. All that followed was a heavy silence. My labored breathing was the only audible sound. What the hell are you doing? One of the Yakuza peered at my face, confused about what had just happened. Seemed like you almost had her. Well, whatever. Just call her back. I silently shook my head. A fist caved my nose in. Blood spurted out of it like a fountain. Damn, that expensive-looking rug was probably ruined. That's the last thing I should have been thinking of, but it's strange how the human mind works. Call her back or I'll use this next. His expression was completely stoic as he picked up a crystal ashtray from the table. It looks pretty heavy. No! It felt like a meteor crashed into my skull. I collapsed on the floor like a rag doll. I couldn't move at all. I didn't feel any pain in my head. My nervous system had been overloaded. All I could feel was heat and the sensation of something flowing out. Shit, your head split open like a ripe melon. Hey, give it up already. You're not the hero type. The other Yakuza tried to reason with me, sounding genuinely sympathetic. I knew exactly who I was and I didn't need him to tell me. I'd known since I was a little kid, right from the moment Mal and I had our falling out. Shut up! I struggled to move my tongue to speak. Why, I couldn't say. I just knew I had to. I sure as hell wasn't out of love for her. If anything, it was the opposite. I detested her and her righteousness more than anyone else in the world. I'd get down on my hands and knees and beg for my life in front of literally anyone else on the planet, but the only thing I would give her was my middle finger, even if she were the last person on Earth. That was a hill I was willing to die on. I'll tell you who I am. Fucking annoying is what you are. Oh, I'm dead. That was how violent the impact in my temple was. The shock sent a tidal wave through my body that obliterated my nervous system. Gradually, everything went cold and dark. You killed him. Look, his eyeball and brains are all over the floor. Now he's useless to us. Sorry, I thought he was disrespecting us, so I may have hit him a little hard. Well, nothing we can do now. Making calls like that is just part of the job. You did the right thing as a Yakuza. I'll get in touch with Ida-kun. Their voices, along with the rest of the world, faded into the distance. Was this what it was like to be dead? It was quiet and lonely. I wonder, where did I go wrong? He's having a panic attack. Hold him down. This again? I already had to deal with this once. Stop your whining. It's my third time. I'm the one who woke up first. With the three of them holding me down, my fear and anger and confusion transformed into an incomprehensible shriek. Finally, all of those feelings left my body, along with whatever strength I was using to lash out. What the hell? What the hell is this? My heart was still pounding. How? How was any of this possible? I must have been killed in the gangster's office, but then ultimately saved, because obviously I was alive right now. Each of them said that they died, but they were obviously healthy and uninjured. I brought my hand up to my head. The ashtray-shaped crater in my skull was completely gone. There wasn't even any blood. If we're going to talk about impossible, why not start with that? So, where are we? I know, right? The attention horse sighed with resignation. I intently surveyed the other three in the shipping container once again. Doing that managed to calm me down a little. These guys didn't know much more than I did, which is to say they didn't know anything. I just couldn't figure out how things could have ended up like this. In that regard, we were in the same boat, so that made me feel a little better. There was a chance they were just playing dumb for my benefit, but the fashion disaster and the top-heavy one were probably being sincere. I was suspicious of the guy with the shaved head and glasses, though. There was something sketchy about him, and he didn't look like the type who ever had held a respectable job. He probably got harassed by cops any time he walked down the street. Well, despite our circumstances, or maybe in light of them, why don't we all introduce ourselves? I suggested with a smile, adopting a friendly expression and tone of voice. The first thing was to gather more information. Who were these other people here? We could at least figure out that much. Sounds good. I'm down for that. Sure enough, the agreeable-looking fashion nightmare was the first to approve. I guess I don't mind. Big tits seemed like the type to go along with what other people said. She could come in handy if shit hit the fan. What about you? Now that I had the two ladies on my side, I tried to get a read on the sketchy bastard. No objections from me. The guy with the buzz cut answered curtly. I managed to seize the initiative for now. Then let's go around clockwise. Huh? It was your idea? Huh? It was your idea? Shouldn't you start? Yeah, I guess. All right then. This attention whore was sharper than she looked. It didn't matter though. I'm Kurosaka Teru. I'm just an ordinary student. Let's see, what else? I got backed into a corner by a scumbag senior today and got mixed up in some trouble with the Yakuza. I gave my real name and an accurate account of what happened to me. I was basically throwing stones into a pond to gauge how deep it was and what kind of fish lived there. If I wanted an accurate picture, it was best to use real info. I got beat to death in some gangster's office in Shinjuku. At least that's what I remember, but the next thing I knew I was here. I guess that's all. I was describing true events, but it sounded kind of like something out of an anime, like you get hit by a truck and wake up in a fantasy world. But in those cases, there was always some kind of upshot, like getting psychic abilities or meeting a princess or something. Somehow, I didn't think my future would be that bright. Okay, me next. I'm Mitsumine Aira. Same, a student. I fell from a moving car and died. No, I was murdered. I'm like so messed up right now. Her vocabulary was lacking, but I understood well enough. Her story was just like mine. I guess I can go next. I'm Mera Manami. I was on my way to work, and there was the usual rush on the stairs at the station where I got off. But today it caused a stampede and a bunch of people got trampled. Holy shit, Japan. Alright, we all gotta get to work. And they don't even care that somebody's being trampled underfoot. Crazy. So you died in the accident? I don't think I did. I remember getting picked up by an ambulance afterward. So not everyone here had died? That gave me a little hope. Well, you're last. I turned my attention to the sketchy guy. I don't know my name. It seems like I've lost all my memories. I don't know if it happened when I died, or if I was always like that. Bullshit, do you really expect us to believe that? This guy was definitely hiding something. Amnesia? How awfully convenient. I swear, I'm telling the truth, you have to believe me. He kept rubbing his hand around his throat. But one thing I do know is how I died. I was hanged. That feeling of despair is I died with the rope digging into my neck. It was so miserable. It hasn't left me. Such a vivid description. Excuse me, such a vivid description. Suicide, or was he strangled by someone?
Yamete!
That's enough! Big Tits Minami cried out. We aren't necessarily dead. I'm inclined to agree with you, Manami-san. I supported her opinion. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, but it could help if we had to create alliances. Memories of dying are all one thing we have in common. But we're alive right now. How do you explain that? You can say that again. The fashion disaster, Ira, agreed. She might have just been jumping on the bandwagon, though. Either way, the next thing I wanted to know was what was outside of this shipping container. I'm sure the others felt the same way. Isn't there some way to get out of here? Locked up tight. The door won't even budge. Just then, I got an alert from the phone in my pocket. At the exact same time, I heard similar sounds coming from everyone else's clothes. We all found ourselves looking at each other. We all started fumbling around in our pockets. What? I don't recognize this app. An unfamiliar app had been installed on my phone's home screen. It looked like it was a messaging app similar to Line, but something was different about it. I don't remember installing it either. For real, what is this? And I'm in some weird group chat, too. I opened the app and saw all four of our names had been added. Kurosaka Teru, Mitsumini Aira, Mera Manami, or Manami. Manami. Tengen Sokichi. Next to each name was an icon with the person's photo. There must have been a webcam or something hidden in the shipping container that took our pictures without us knowing. And one of the names hadn't come up during our introductions a minute ago. The icon showed a man with a shaved head and glasses. This says Tengen Sokichi. You mind if we call you that? Like I told you, I don't remember anything. Call me that if you want. It's better than not having a name at all. It looked like the app was built so that we couldn't configure any settings. There also weren't any buttons to add or remove people from a conversation. In other words, the four of us were stuck together. Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you. I look forward to working together. A number of messages from someone who seemed to be the group administrator suddenly popped up on the screen. Who is this? What's going on? How are we supposed to reply to this? Unfortunately, you have all died. But don't worry. Fortunately, you've been selected for participation in an experiment being conducted by a certain organization. In other words, you've been brought back from the dead. Congratulations. Huh? Experiment. The messages casually confirmed that we had all died. What was this organization, though? This got shady real fast. And besides, what do they mean, brought back? Did we win some kind of contest or something? Some of us seem to be missing the point, but Manami was right on target. Given the context, being brought back seemed to mean that we died and then had been miraculously reanimated somehow. But the part implying we were fortunate sent chills up my spine. After all, nothing in this world is free, right? That word experiment also made me uneasy. There'd be some price to pay in exchange for this fortune we'd been given. And I got the feeling we were about to find out what it was. The news of your deaths has already been suppressed. All references have been removed from official police and hospital records. For those of you whose families have already been notified, we informed them of your miraculous recovery. So please, don't worry. You can all go home tonight. You can all go home as soon as tonight's work is complete. I knew it. There it was. Work. Say that we're planning to have us do something. What's this rando even trying to say? It's gotta be a scam, right? To get money or something? If we can believe what's written here, then it's almost as if we never died. So, like, once a doctor checks us out or something, we're free to go? If this was true, then this organization obviously had ties to the police, among other things. What the hell? If this wasn't a bluff, then we were beyond screwed. None of this felt real. Was this real? As soon as we started talking about bringing the dead back to life, all bets were off. I will now explain the nature of this work. When the time to commence arrives, your devices will all switch over to a map application. Your target for the evening will be identified on the map by a red marker. You are to use this geographic data to pursue your target, and then you'll kill them. There was a sudden chill in the air. This is dumb. That was the only word to sum up how I felt. I'd seen this in manga before, and murder game type books and stuff. That was fine for manga. Those are strange and interesting stories made up for entertainment to kill time. But this is real, and it was cringy to hear an adult saying something like, "You're gonna kill them for me." Yes, I agree this is idiotic, but it's awfully convoluted for a prank, don't you think? After all, we've actually been brought back to life, haven't we? Even if we didn't die, we fully recovered from serious injuries. That much we know to be true. Would this organization go to such expense just to make us do something as a joke? The guy with the shaved head and glasses, Tengen, that's a game company, said what I had been unconsciously thinking this whole time. I was a little annoyed that he beat me to the punch. I know they're an old game company, but I remember. Didn't they do Tecmo Bowl? I will now explain how you all came to be here. A special type of battery has been placed inside each of you. The electricity from this battery produces a sort of quasi-biological activity in your bodies. When the battery is depleted, you'll return to your former condition. They cannot be reactivated once this occurs, so please exercise caution. My heart skipped a beat at the messages from the group administrator. The other three stared intently at their phones without saying a word. I was having a hard time understanding what was written on the screen, but I knew the takeaway was that it wasn't good news for us. Each of your batteries has 10 minutes of charge remaining. Hey, wait a second! I shouted a knee-jerk reply at seeing such a concrete number so suddenly. At the same time, that ominous line of text triggered a flashback in my mind. Depleted, well, return to your former condition. Cannot be reactivated. What? How long? Please avail yourselves of the tools we've prepared for you in the shipping container. Are there any questions so far? I started furiously tapping away on my phone screen. The others did the same. What does electricity have to do with me? That'd be explained once your work is complete. What do you mean we have to kill them? You're telling us to commit murder? They aren't people, so don't worry. Your targets are more commonly known as specters. Are you screwing with us? Everyone knows ghosts aren't real. Specters are very real. To be more specific, they are accumulation of electromagnetic energy imbued with data. They aren't uncommon, but they typically don't interfere in human affairs. You alone can see and interact with them electrically. I have a family and I'd like to go home. You are free to do so, but you revert to a corpse after 10 minutes. If you're all right with that, then by all means. Foosh, 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 foosh. This is no time to be using stickers, you idiot. Talk about ruining the tension. Don't call me an idiot. Besides, there's like nothing we can do about it. She stared at me with an intense look in her eyes. She wasn't shaking like me or Minami. It seemed like she'd finally found some courage somewhere. All we can do is play along for now, right? I don't want to know what happens once our 10 minutes is up. This person is talking about specters and electromagnetic whatever. How are we supposed to take that seriously? Why? How did we get wrapped up in this? I just want to go home. Please let me go. On the other hand, Minami seemed to be at her wit's end. As usual, it was eerily difficult to guess what Tengen was thinking. He just kept tapping away on his phone. Why do we have to kill these specters? Give us a compelling reason. What part of this is so hard for you to understand? Now then, your work is about to begin. That was fast. Not much more on this, guys. I was just about ready to hurl my phone at the wall. Was this guy out of his mind? There was only so much I could put up with. Suddenly, a mechanical noise filled the shipping container. There was an electronic beeping sound like when you scan your train pass, and the walls started shaking with the sound of a motor. Then a rush of fresh air. One of the walls began to slowly fall away as it was pulled by wires. It was night on the other side. We seemed to be inside of a dark warehouse. At the same time, the group messaging app shut itself down. A GPS app automatically opened in its place. The four of us appeared to be represented by yellow markers on the map, and there was kind of a stopwatch overlaid on top. Oh shit, the countdown's already started! The row of numbers started at 9, 59, 99, and began counting down with terrible speed, our mysterious 10-minute time limit. No, I can't get the screen to go back! Our phone's other functions had already been locked out. All they would show was the map with the timer. Light from outside was shining into the shipping container, and in one corner I spotted a storage box labeled Tools. Inside it was a metal bat, a severed iron golf club, some kind of crowbar, and a large retractable utility knife. Oh, an odd assortment of objects, but there were four of them, one for each of us. I think I remember them saying something about taking these. Each item could theoretically be used to kill someone. I started looking for one to take. I didn't know what I was up against. I figured I should probably take whatever had the greatest lethal potential. Dibs on this one! The metal bat had first drawn my attention, but was instead claimed by Ira, of course. In a panic, I snatched up the golf club since it seemed to have comparable range. Tengen grabbed the iron crowbar. Minami had been standing there dumbfounded and ended up stuck with the leftover box cutter. Hey, I mean, you can. You know, gotta get close enough. I think I got him. Is that it? And then we all stepped out of the container. The door to the receiving warehouse had been left open. We left the warehouse lot to find an ordinary residential neighborhood sprawling out in front of us. We could have been anywhere in the country. Where are we? At least we're outside. For a moment, I thought of running away, but I couldn't get the image of the countdown out of my head. It was too ominous to ignore. Without thinking, I started walking down the road in front of me. The other three followed one by one. As we moved, the markers on our maps moved accordingly. In the meantime, I checked my pockets to find I still had all my personal belongings. Even the contents of my wallet were intact. If we kept on this street, we'd come to a small river up ahead where we could see a bridge. It sure is quiet. Kind of reminds me of being back home. The map displayed on our screen scrolled with us as we walked. Just then, a red marker appeared to the upper right of us. It was moving towards the southeast at a leisurely pace. Hey, what's this? It's like they said, that must be our target. I guess we should try going towards it. I don't like this. I mean, we're talking about whether or not to take someone's life, aren't we? Don't tell me you've all made your minds up already. Minami sounded like she couldn't believe we would go through with it. But from where I stood, it was her reluctance I found hard to believe. After all, we'd die. Wouldn't we die if we did nothing? No, I haven't thought that far ahead. What if we're on some kind of prank show? If we go along with it for now, then we might find out. I said gently without letting any of my contempt for her show on my face. Minami's expression seemed agreeable for the moment. Maybe. I sure hope that's all it is. Oh, now I get it. Hey, you're pretty smart. Ira jumped on board, too. But I didn't have any faith that I was right. It's more like wishful thinking. I also had my recent experience with Ida-senpai in mind. This is real, Minami-san. I really wanted this to just be some sort of prank. But what if it wasn't? What then? I didn't want to think about it anymore. I looked up at the sky as I trudged along silently. It was just an ordinary residential area at night, and there was no one else on the street. But there were lights on in some of the houses, and I could sense activity going on inside them. Ordinary people going about their daily routines. The four of us were just passing through. It felt like I'd been stuck in a nightmare ever since the final school bell. As I retreated into my mind, the figure of someone walking on the path ahead of us finally came into view. The distance between the red and yellow markers on the map was steadily closing. My heart started beating uncontrollably fast. I reflexively quickened my pace. The other three did the same. The back of the person in front of me grew closer and closer. Now that I was near enough to see him closely, he looked like an office worker dressed in a suit. I could only see him from behind, but I could tell he was young, probably still in his 20s. We were less than 10 meters apart now. He was on the other side of the street, right across a small crosswalk. I checked my phone again. The red and yellow markers were almost on top of each other. There was no one else on the street it could possibly be. In other words, this man was undoubtedly our target. Now what? My heart pounded violently like it was going to burst out of my chest. The combination of that and the silence were so unbearable that I opened my mouth to speak. Excuse me. He beat me to it again. Tengen called out to the pedestrian walking in front of us. The man in the suit stopped. Then he slowly turned around to face us. I could feel my breath quicken from the tension.
Hi?
Yes? Everything about his voice and appearance seemed normal. Nothing ghostly about him at all. He was just an ordinary human. I stopped and breathed a sigh of relief. We must have the wrong guy, I thought. We should find some way to get rid of him. There was still time to see if there were any other red markers on the map. I took a few steps towards him. That's when it happened. There was a staticky sound like the white noise on an old-style TV set. The sound was coming from the man in front of me. His outline twisted and flickered like the image on a broken CRT. What the fuck? What the fuck? This is not okay. This is not okay. What the hell is that? Ira's cry shook me out of my looping thoughts. My surprise was turning into an incomprehensible dread. What is that? What the fuck is that? What do you want? The man in the suit moved towards us, annoyance in his voice. As he got closer, his image distorted again. His head seemed to expand about 10 times the size of the rest of his body. Like an image wrapped through a fisheye, warped rather, guys, through a fisheye lens. I heard Minami fall to the ground next to me. It wasn't a cute squeal like a character on TV, but a hoarse, ragged shriek that came to her throat. From her throat, rather, guys. I didn't blame her. I'd been so scared I thought my heart was gonna stop. Whoa! Tengen reflexively jumped backwards, slamming right into me. The golf club in my hand and the crowbar in his clanged together. The sharp metallic sound echoed in the darkness. The noise seemed to tip off the man that we were each carrying weapons in our hands. Fear and confusion spread across his face. To our surprise, he turned his back to us and ran away. He must have thought we were muggers or random attackers. His reaction was completely normal for someone confronted on the street at night by a group of people holding bats and golf clubs. No, wait a minute. He was the one who looked all scary and distorted, right? So why did he react like a normal person would? He ran away! Yet again, Iris' shout brought me back to my senses. At that moment, my body started to move on its own. I couldn't say which of us took off after him first. I had no idea what was happening at this point, but before I knew it, I was hot on the man's heels, like I was trying to beat the others to him. I couldn't say why I started chasing him. The only reason I have is that he was running away. There's no logic behind it. None of us were acting rationally. The only thing driving my body at this point was my fear of going back to that. That's probably the only emotion I was feeling. Run, 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 run! I was completely out of breath. My knees and ankles were in excruciating pain. My sides felt like they were gonna split open. My eyes were dry and stinging from the wind in my face. I felt like I was gonna puke, and just then the taste of sour stomach acid welled up in my throat and spewed out of my mouth. Damn it, he was too fast. I guess he really was that desperate. I thought I could catch him, but it was hopeless. Bit by bit, something like hatred for the man started welling up inside me. My thoughts were clouded from physical exertion, and I felt like I was playing some sort of game. Would I win? Could I catch him? I gauged the length of the 7-iron in my hand against the distance of the man running in front of me. It came to me surprisingly naturally. I had to do something here and now. That was my only goal in life at the moment. I raised the club over my head and swung it down as hard as I could. The reverberation in my hands told me it was a solid hit. The man crumpled to the ground in front of me. Blood sprayed from his head where the club made contact and ran down the back of his neck. Blood? So this guy was actually human? The impact was exactly what you would expect, hitting a flesh and blood human. The man couldn't run anymore, knelt, holding the back of his head. The other three caught up to me, panting heavily. They looked down at the man's blood in the street under the glow of the streetlights. The four of us surrounded him as he crouched on the ground. No one said a word. The only sound was a man groaning in pain. I had a terrible feeling I'd made a mistake. Was all this nonsense about specters just a trick to get us to kill an actual person? The twisting and distortion was impossible to believe. But could I really misinterpret something like that? At this point, we could either choose to stop or finish him off. If we stopped now, I would be stuck as the only one with blood on his hands. I wanted to avoid that outcome at all costs. This is supposed to be a team effort. What if each of us takes a swing at him? No, no way. Is that really necessary? Shit, the moment of passion had already passed for them. As for Manami, it went without saying. She stood completely still with a box cutter in her hand, not taking a single step closer. But come on, this guy isn't human, is he? I couldn't accept that I was the only one with something to lose here. If anything happened later on, I had to make sure we shared equal responsibility. Didn't you see that distortion shit he was doing earlier? Even if we didn't kill him, you each needed to take a swing. Otherwise, I'll tell them you guys didn't pull your weight. As I desperately tried threatening them. The man's shape started distorting again. It looked like the back of his head where I'd hit him was disintegrating into some kind of black and white TV static. That part of him wasn't returning to normal. Seeing that, my hesitation disappeared. We had to finish him. See? Look! I brought the club down as hard as I could again. His hands were on the ground supporting him and the blow collided with his left elbow. I heard the bone snap. His left arm disappeared from the elbow down into a spray of pixelated noise. There was no blood. With one arm completely gone, the man collapsed onto the ground. For a moment, his entire body distorted. Someone else! He reached out with his remaining arm to grab Ira's leg. The words coming out of his mouth dissolved into static sounds, and I couldn't understand most of what he said. With a shriek of fear and revulsion, Ira brought down her bat on him. An unnerving sound came from his face as it caved in, and there was a spectacular spray of blood. But of course, that blood also disintegrated into gray static that promptly disappeared. It was unreal. Tengen was apparently convinced enough to act now. He plunged the pointed end of the crowbar into the top of the man's head. The white bone of his skull was exposed beneath a deep gouge of red flesh which peeked through curled flaps of skin and hair. But before long, that wound also vanished into a pixelated spray. Yet somehow the man was still alive, or still moving at least, like an insect. Wasn't that trauma enough to do him in? If not, we'd have to be more thorough in our methods. We needed an edged weapon instead of these blunt implements. I suddenly got a bad feeling and looked down at my phone screen. Oh shit, there are only 20 seconds left in the countdown. We need the box cutter, cut his throat, go for the artery. That seemed to be the only way to finish him off with the time we had left. I can't! But Manami shook her head with a pale expression on her face. It made sense that there was a greater resistance to using the knife over the blunt weapon, but we didn't have time to worry about that. If you don't do it, we'll die! For the first time, I shouted what I hadn't been willing to acknowledge. Yes, there was a point to the seemingly pointless act we were committing. I told you I can't! But Manami wouldn't budge. Screaming hysterically, she threw the box cutter down on the pavement. Refusal! In the blink of an eye, I pounced on it and yanked the man's hair, forcing him to look up. His face was like some kind of surrealist pop art. Most of it was a pixelated mess, leaving a gaping hole behind as it disappeared. It was like some kind of awful fever dream. The blade clicked as I extended it to its maximum length. I plunged it into the side of his neck as hard as I could. The blade penetrated deep. I could feel the cutter digging into soft, living flesh. I tore through the faceless man's carotid artery, and a fountain of blood erupted. The hot, distinctive smelling spray nailed me right in the face. Die already! Just fucking die! I screamed desperately, trying to muster what strength I had left to finish the job. Die! Next to me, Ira started raining down blows all over his body with a metal bat. Finally. Look, he's disappearing. A hazy gray pixelated after image was all that was left. The broken remains of the man started blowing away in the wind like sand. Before long, there was nothing left. Huh? After spending a few seconds collapsed from exhaustion, I suddenly remembered the timer. The countdown on my phone screen had already passed zero, but it was still counting into the negative now. Even so, I didn't feel anything wrong with my body. My heart was still pounding away, at least for now. Is it over? Yeah. That was messed up. That's like totally gonna haunt my nightmares. I don't feel better at all. I feel like we're the bad guys here. She was right. Defeating the monster usually looked a lot more heroic in the movies. They'd have some kind of powerful item or high-tech weaponry. Using metal backs and box cutters really, you know, felt kinda crude. Whoop. But now that I had the luxury to think about those things, I wondered if I could finally relax. It looked like it was really over. At that same moment, the raw smell of fresh blood hit my nostrils again. The blood itself had turned into static, just like the rest of the man's body, but the physical sensation of pulverizing him and the smell of blood were just like the real thing. An intense wave of nausea came over me, and I puked on the spot. I ducked out of the light, and my stomach contents spewed all over the darkened pavement. Unlike the man's blood, it remained there. Fuck, I'm so tired. For the first time, I became aware of the horrible fatigue gripping my body. I couldn't even stand, so I just collapsed on the ground. The other three didn't look any better. I got a strange feeling in my gut. Of course, it had been draining, running at full speed to chase after him. And the act of killing him had used up a lot of stamina, too. But was it normal to be this tired? No, exhaustion wasn't the right word for it. It was normal fatigue. I could just rest to recover, but I hadn't noticed any of my strength coming back for a while now. The more I kept going, the weaker I got. It was just like a battery. It's almost like my body had become battery-powered. Just then, I got another message notification on my phone. At some point, the screen had switched away from the map and back to the messaging app. You've done it. Congratulations. By the way, there was never any time limit. It was necessary to make you believe so, otherwise you wouldn't have been as motivated the first time. Apologies for the deception. So that timer was bullshit all along. But even knowing I'd been tricked, I didn't have the strength to get upset. That may also have been why I wasn't as despondent as I should have been at the works this first time. Now that you all have the hang of it, you'll continue your work. Naturally, you'll be compensated for your efforts. Your compensation will be paid in the form of electrical energy. Think of it as an extension of your lifespan. Electricity, come to think of it, they said they would explain more once our work was finished. You will now receive your first charge as payment. This charge will be delivered via microwave transmission from the devices you're presently using. Can I look at that? Presently using to your personal receiving terminals. Please use the battery indicator on your device screen to confirm the amount of charge remaining. That burns! Suddenly I felt heat inside of my left forearm. I rotated my arm to look. At some point I'd been given a small square tattoo. Some kind of LED light was faintly blinking beneath it. Actually, looking closer, it wasn't a tattoo at all. It was like a QR code had been printed directly on the skin. Was this the receiving terminal? Something was flowing into my body through the terminal. I could feel the strength I had just expended being replenished. The energy I hadn't been able to recover through any amount of resting was being pumped into me from the outside. This permanent indicator. It can't be. There was some kind of status indicator on my phone screen showing how much power was left. It looked just like the battery icon. It quickly grew from less than 10% all the way to almost 100. The QR code blinked the whole time. Was that how much life I had remaining? Looking over at Minami next to me, I saw something similar near the back of her neck. It looked like each of us had a receiving terminal in a different spot, but they seemed to be going through the same thing I was. As hard as it was to believe, I was being charged right now. Alright guys, so that's where we're going to end it, because I'm going to go ahead and charge my own batteries. I didn't get much sleep last night, and definitely going to go ahead and try to do that. So you guys enjoy your Halloween, and I'm going to go ahead and charge myself up a little bit so I can get ready for this day, and more stuff that I got to give you guys later on. But for now, guys, this is all we got for Dead Days. Yes, I mean it. Like, there's not going to be a part two for a while. Why? Because we've already done like an hour and a half, and that's more than they probably want us to do. You can pick up Dead Days exclusively at Manga Gamer. It's on sale. Right now it's on sale, guys. So go ahead and pick it up. And also the entire Clock Up library. Maggot Baits, Euphoria, and How to Live a Healthy Anti-Lifestyle, and the second one of that, an Arrow Arrowgay and Arrow Voice and all those, all on sale right now, guys, at Manga Gamer exclusively, along with this game. So you guys have a great Halloween, and I'll see you guys back here tomorrow. And we're going to continue our Dark Month all the way up till next Tuesday. So we're going to be doing some more Halloween stuff, you know, maybe a little late, but we're going to continue all the way until it's officially November by my calendar, which would be about, I mean, technically Sunday, but we're gonna wait till Tuesday. And we're going to get all that to you guys Tuesday. And then, of course, we'll be bringing you guys Once in a Lifetime and, of course, Eternum, because you guys love Eternum and I love Eternum as well. So we're going back to the AVNs, and I hope you guys enjoyed Dark Month. Don't worry, I did plan more Great Deceiver, and you are going to get it, just not today. Tomorrow, maybe the next day, we'll figure it out. I might have to do like 2 hours of it, but I definitely want to give it to you guys. So, alright, this is the Grimlord, and I will see you guys next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner with more great hentai games. Hope you guys enjoy your Halloween. I'm out.